So, sort of at the beginning, if you could, to talk a little bit about starting the support group in Portland, because it's such a novel and interesting thing to do. Maybe you could talk just a bit about when you started it, why you started it, what it's all about.
Okay, prior to that time we were going to, I guess what I would call a more traditional support group. While they were wonderful people in the group, basically much of the meetings dwelled on the issue of the side effects of drugs that these people were taking, and just a lot of complaints about how imperfect traditional medical approaches to treating Parkinson's was. And I, at that time, was not taking any drugs, so I think I was the only person in the group at that time that wasn't. Or maybe there was one other person. And I just, they're nice people, but my interest was looking at other more natural approaches to see if there's anything out there in the universe that could help Parkinson's. And so we started this group, and we've been in existence for, 4 years now. We've had, typically, we have speakers almost at every meeting, but not, you know, occasionally we share, just devote a whole meeting to sharing, you know, what's going on with ourselves. And so we've run the gamut. I mean, you name it, we've had speakers talking about everything from acupuncture to cranial sacral to some people from Olympia talking about energy work. We've had naturopaths, homeopaths, chiropractic. I mean, it's really been quite a wide range of speakers. I would say, you know, the feedback I've gotten from members of the group that they've really appreciated being exposed to all these other possibilities. It's not to say that everybody in the group has followed all these modalities of healing, but I think there's been a great appreciation of the fact that they at least they're aware that there are options out there beyond just taking Cinnamon.
So a lot of the people who attend the group are interested, like you, in finding alternative approaches for figuring out ways to feel better.
I would say the group I could say sort of divides in two categories. One who have an intellectual interest in this subject, but have been quite conservative about applying these different modalities. And then there's people like, the other group is those who dive in and want to try it all.
Which of the two categories would you say you fall into?
I think probably the last.
That would be my guess, too.
Right.
So could you talk some about your Parkinson's and what that's been all about for you?
Well, let me give you a little history. In late 2000, early 2001, I started to notice a pain in my knee, my right knee. And it was most noticeable while I was driving long distances, like when I take trips to Seattle. I just noticed by the time I arrived in Seattle, pain was just unbearable. Or what I noticed, it also occurred when I was sitting for long periods of time at my desk or attending some kind of theatrical performance. Then I noticed it started to radiate up my right leg to my buttocks at times. That triggered the first visit to a orthopedic specialist who took x-rays of the spine and knee, could not find anything, any problem, but suggested I do a series of at-home exercises. That gave me very little relief. The pain seemed to vary from day to day. This is, I would say, in 2001. Occasionally exercise seemed to help, but at other times not at all. Then I went back to the orthopedic specialist, and he suggested I go for formal physical therapy and possibly see a neurologist. And I went from December 2002 through, I think, February 2003. I went to a physical therapist for about over several months. And my recollection is that the physical therapy only gave temporary relief. In March of 2002, I went to see a chiropractor by the name of Fred Reed. for spinal and neck adjustments. And Dr. Reed did cranial, I didn't know about cranial sacral at that time, but that's what he used. What I did notice was I had total relief from the knee pain after those treatments. However, over time, the pain would come back. And I saw Dr. Reed for several months. And one of his observations that he made was that it appeared that my right side of my body was locked up, or as he called it, in protection mode. I went in June of 2002, I went to see an acupuncturist. Treatments were painful, but they gave me temporary relief, and I tried that for about 3 visits, but didn't feel it was really being effective. Late 2002, I started to notice the pain in the right knee leg was starting to affect my ability to walk without limping, and started to notice some tremors in my right foot if I was excited, and loss of motor movement in my big toe, my right foot. In late September 2002, I started to notice pain in my right shoulder area. At that point, I went to see my general physician to review the history of pain in my right side of my body. He suggested I take MRIs and have more physical therapy. And in November of 2002, I had MRIs of the lumbar spine, the head and cervical spine. I had those MRIs interpreted by a neurologist. Basically, it was his opinion that I may have Parkinson's. Then I went to see another neurologist, and she confirmed that I had, in her opinion, based on observation, that I had Parkinson's. That was in late 2002. One thing the first neurologist I went suggested trying an epidural steroid injection in the neck to relieve pain. And it did relieve the pain for about a week, but it came back. So I actually had 3 different neurologists make the diagnosis because I couldn't believe it. I had a really hard time accepting that I had this disease.
What did they then in general recommend would be a good path for you to pursue?
Well, 2 of the doctors suggested that I start on medication. They gave me a starter pack of Mirapex or Requip, and one suggested, I think, you know, if Requip doesn't work, you could try something like Sinemet. Viscerally, I just, something inside of me said I did not want to go down that route. And I'm lucky my brother's an MD, and one of his closest friends is a neurologist. So I called his friend, had a long discussion about this, and it was his suggestion to me at that time to avoid taking any medication, standard PD medication. Well, as long as I felt I could still function without the use of that medication, you know, because of the half-life problems with the PD meds and potential side effects, dyskinesia, etc., he suggested try to stay away from it. And then he put me in touch with a woman whose husband was a doctor who had Parkinson's and said that she's very knowledgeable about alternative treatments. So I called her and must have spent 2 hours on the phone with her just hearing about her husband's situation and various alternative treatments that he had tried. And that's how I really got sort of interested in alternative approaches to treating Parkinson's. She was the person who turned me on to Janice Walton Hadlock, you know, the PD recovery site.
Right.
That just, you know, this was early 2003, and that's where I started. I could say I started my journey looking at an alternative. In April, May of 2003, I started to take, based on the recommendation of a friend, a juice called Noni Juice. Have you heard about
it? Yes.
And I tried that for a few months because there was some anecdotal information that may help Parkinson's, but I didn't notice any noticeable effect. So I stopped that after about 3 months. Then in May of 2003, I visited my naturopath, and he suggested me taking a product called Recancostat, which is reduced glutathione. It's not through IV, but it's a powder you mix up in water. And he thought maybe that would help. He frankly wasn't too optimistic that he could do very much for me. So I started taking that. It's Recancostat, Recancostat. And I took that for, let me see, probably 2 months. I noticed a little improvement, but very little. And after a while, I just sort of said, I didn't think this was worth taking it any longer. In May of 2004, I started to see Gonzalo Flores, who's a licensed acupuncturist. And the reason I saw him is because I found out through some research that he was familiar with Yin Tuan A, which is the technique that, you know, Janice uses for treating Parkinson's. And he knew Janice. Also, he's a Qigong master. And according to Gonzo, my Qi was weak and that he thought some treatments could help. And I stuck with him from May of 2004 through November of 2005. And the treatments at times seemed to be very helpful. And when I say very helpful, while it's on the table, they would give me some immediate relief and sometimes for several hours afterwards. Also, he was conducting Qigong classes, which I knew nothing about until I met Gonzo. And, Qigong, I felt some of the sessions were very, very helpful in terms of just quieting down the tremor and just feeling better. It's a long story, but he changed his business practices, and I didn't like what he was starting to do, so I ultimately, at the end of November, I decided to try something else. In June of 2005, I met a guy, and this, he was one of our speakers at our group, was Joe Keeney, who's a physical therapist who had been learning a technique called integrative manual therapy, IMT. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Well, they've been doing a lot of research on Parkinson's, and if you go to a website, it's www.centerimt.com, you can learn about that technique and how it's a, I think they have a lot more information about Parkinson's now. Anyway, it's a technique where he manipulates various organs and tissues in the body to release toxins, to release stress, release tremor, to release trauma. And I went from June of 2005 through December. I think I had about 20 treatments over that time, and some of them are pretty dramatic in terms of helping me out. But again, with all these techniques, the relief was temporary in that, you know, it may help for an hour or two or three afterwards, sometimes maybe a little longer. Then in September of 2005, we started a thing called the Parkinson's Energy Project. There was a couple sessions, as you well remember, that were very profound. I remember, I think it was the first time you did cranial sacral work on me. I got tremendous relief, and that lasted, I'm looking at my notes here, up to about 6 hours after the treatment. It also, I think, put me in touch with some emotional issues that I had been suppressing. I can't say that I got permanent relief, but definitely it gave me temporary relief and gave me a lot of new insight into what energy work is all about. Okay.
Because you've tried so many different things. It's just, yeah, and it's so helpful to people I know to be able to hear your experiences with all of these different modalities.
In February of 2006 through October of that year, I started to do what was called pranic healing with a wonderful lady by the name of Andrea Ferber. And are you familiar with pranic healing?
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Yes, but I'm sure people who are probably listening wouldn't know a lot about it. So if you could just give a brief explanation, I'm sure.
Well, it's a technique. It's a totally hands-off technique. Basically, removing blockages along the meridians. And a lot of times they use crystals or hand movements. Again, I would sometimes, during the treatments, I go into a profound state of relaxation. Just the tremors would stop. I would feel very good afterwards. And, you know, and the effect would last maybe an hour, two, three, sometimes a little longer. Luckily, I had a treatment by the Grand Master, Grand Master Ko, who basically heads up the organization in North America. And that was very profound. I mean, that was a whole level beyond what Andrea could do. He worked on me for about an hour, I remember. He was lecturing in Portland, and Andrea graciously arranged to have him meet me. He and another colleague has worked on me. And that day, I think the effect lasted almost 12 hours. Where I was virtually symptom free.
How sweet.
So, you know, all these things raise fundamental questions in my mind, and it's still to this day, you know, what this disease is all about. Probably the most profound healing experience I had occurred in April of 2006. I went to a shamanic healing circle in which a drummer by the name of Toby Christensen, who is very well known nationally, internationally in the shamanic drumming circles. He's out of Vancouver, Washington, where he and his wife is a healer as well. And they were teaching a class in shamanic healing. And at the end of the class, they would invite people who felt they would like to be exposed to shamanic treatment. So I one night in April of 2006, I went to attend one of their healing circles, and I was surrounded by probably 20 people. All have been trained in various healing arts, and Toby led the group with this phenomenal drumming. I don't know how even to describe it. Are you familiar with him at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay. If you go to, I think it's www.healingdrummer.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, I may be mistaken. If you Google Toby Christensen, drummer, I'm positive it'll take you to his, he's an amazing individual. Very well steeped in the shamanic healing arts, as well as his wife. Anyway, it was probably the most single profound experience I had in terms of release of pain, release of anxiety. And that experience, I basically hobbled into that room but walked out and was symptom-free for almost 24 hours. And Toby goes into sort of a trance when he drums, and what he saw was, the way he described it, he saw like crystals along my spine breaking up as he drummed. That's the way he described it, sort of just like a crustacean. So I'd love to do it. It was a very unique situation. I'd love to recreate it again. But, you know, they had people from all over the Pacific Northwest who were attending this class. And it would be very difficult to get all 20 healers back at the same time, but it just shows you the power healing. Oh, the other thing, before I forget, the other thing that I knew that this was a magical time, driving to the shamanic healing session, about a mile from place, all of a sudden I felt this tremendous heat in the back of my neck, like something was warming me up. And I never quite had that experience before. It was just like radiating heat. As Toby said, the angels were sort of accompanying. I heard angels singing, and I thought I was crazy until several other people said, "Can you hear the voices?" Literally, the angels singing in the background. I get shivers when I even tell this story. Anyway, that was in April of 2006. May, I started to look at nutrition and supplements a little more detail, and I met a lady by the name of Katie Heath, certified nutritional therapist. And she uses kinesiology to determine what supplements you need. And I saw her for several months. Initially, I think what she suggested seemed to help a little bit, but over time, I wasn't quite so sure. So I tried that. I think I made a good faith effort, but ultimately decided I needed something else. In October 2006 through July 2007, I was working with a Reiki healer, very powerful lady by the name of Margaret Joyce, and I was taking treatments about once a week from her. And that was, again, it felt extremely good. She saw it as energy blockages throughout my body and tried to treat it that way. More recently, since April of last year to the present time, I've been seeing another lady for cranial sacral treatments. A very powerful healer, and again, I think she's helped release some trauma that's been stored in my body. I guess I want to say, I mean, all these things I'm sure have been helpful to me, and probably been more helpful than I'm aware of. There's probably things at the subconscious level that have been changing that I'm not totally aware of, but. Be frank, from starting when I was first diagnosed till about December of last year, my symptoms, if I'm totally honest with myself, were starting to get worse. I was having more trouble walking. Muscle stiffness was just getting worse. I was tremoring more. And so I really had to face a decision whether or not I need to go on medication. It's because things, while I was getting temporary relief from all these different healing modalities, nothing seemed to really give me any substantial relief. And so I think I started to do some exploring on the internet again, as I usually start with all these healing modalities. And I read a posting by a guy by the name of Max LaFontaine up in Canada, who had been using this herb, Mancuna purens, and was getting tremendous benefit from it. He was on Sinemet in the beginning, but was starting to experience a lot of side effects. And trying to deal with that issue, found out about this Ayurvedic herb that's been used in treating Parkinson's for almost 5,000 years. And so one thing led to another. I met him. I actually started to communicate with him, and then found out that he was going to be in Portland, so he and I got together and shared a lot of information, and he sort of educated me initially about Mancuna. That started after talking to him in January of this year, 2008. I started to take Mancuna, and initially, it didn't seem to help a whole lot, but then another person said, try it with this prescription drug called Lodicin, which is carbidopa, because they felt that the natural levodopa in Mancuna would not efficiently cross the blood-brain barrier without the assist of carbidopa. As soon as I added carbidopa to the Mancuna dosing, it was dramatic. I'd say within 2 or 3 days, much of my muscle stiffness just dissipated substantially. Not 100%, but I'd say when the drug is in its full effect, I'd say 80 to 85%. Tremors at times stopped completely or were very mild. The other thing is I was starting to experience a lot of depression in 2007 as my condition worsened. And Mikuna made an enormous change, just an enormous change. My mood just really elevated significantly. So it's been a godsend. It's really changed me, changed my life around. There's still part of me that, you know, sort of says, do I really want to be dependent on herb for the rest of my life? But right now, the trade-off is if I don't take it, I get stiff again, and I fall back into a condition that I'm not really happy about. Right now, the Mikuna has been very helpful. Oh, the other thing condition that cleared up immediately was constipation. I was starting to have a lot of constipation problems. And within a week, that completely disappeared.
Hallelujah. So how much of the Mikuna and carbidopa do you take every day?
I'm taking a pill and a half of Mikuna. It's made by a company called Herbs Forever in California. They import it from India. So I take 1.5 pills of Mikuna with 1 tablet of Lotosin, which is 25 milligrams. And I do that twice a day. Occasionally, I'll do it 3 times a day, but I'm trying to see if I can function fairly well twice a day, because my feeling is the less you can take of any of this stuff, the better, and still function, the better it is.
Right.
So that's what I've been doing. You know, every day is not perfect, but as compared to, say, 6 months ago, it's like night and day. I'm out walking again. I'm out hiking. I'm more engaged with society again, where I was feeling I was starting to withdraw.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear, Carl. Just wonderful.
But I'm still looking for, you know, even though I've had so much good benefit from the Mikuna, I'm still trying to see if there's something else out there that would be a more permanent solution, that I wouldn't have to rely on that for the rest of my life.
Right. Well, you've given such an eloquent description of all of these many, many different therapies and modalities that you've dealt with and had for a number of years, like shamanic drumming and cranial sacral therapy and acupuncture. And are these things that you did before 2000? Is this
the only thing that I did before 2000? I think I used acupuncture a couple of times from a sore elbow that I had. But no, actually, all these different healing modalities I didn't really even know about or never investigate until the Parkinson's.
How interesting. So can you talk about a bit exactly what you're doing now? It's, of course, the Mikuna, the carbidopa. Are you still doing the cranial sacral?
Yes, I'm still doing cranial sacral.
And sounds like walking and exercise and
exercise.
Supplements of one kind or another? Or
yeah, I'm still taking supplements, not so much for Parkinson's, but for just general health.
Mm.
I take a multivitamin, C, E, CoQ10. That I take for Parkinson's. Fish oil. I'm a big believer, so I take fish oil as well.
Are there any dietary rules that you have for yourself that are important?
Not particularly. I think I eat less now than I used to. I think I've been trying to watch my weight more carefully now. I've never been a real big meat eater. I tend to like fish a lot more. I probably eat more fish and vegetables than I probably did, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Drink lots of water. That's the other thing that I think is important. But no, I can't say I'm on a special diet. Maybe I should be. I mean, that's one of the areas. There's a couple areas that I feel like I haven't really fully explored. One is, you know, whether diet change would help. And the other area that I've never had any formal diagnosis is on toxins, whether there's anything in my body. I've been told by various healers that my body has been pretty well detoxified through all these different treatments, but I've never had that, you know, chemically confirmed by a test. Maybe I should do that.
So we've known each other for several years now, and it sounds like relative to when we first met, you're really doing a lot better.
Yeah, and I have to attribute a lot of it to the Mucuna right now. I wasn't, you know, as I said, up till the end of last year, I was, if you had met me in December of 2007, I was in pretty bad shape, both emotionally and physically. The Mucuna is really, in combination with Lotusin, has really made a dramatic change.
Mm-hmm.
Very dramatic.
That's so amazing. What would you say to anyone who's just discovered that they've been diagnosed with Parkinson's? What kind of help, insight, comment would you want to make to them?
Well, my experience with this disease, whatever underlies it, is so unique to the individual that you have to do a sort of serious self-assessment about your lifestyle, about your approach, your thoughts about this disease. You know, I would certainly recommend trying to stay away from the traditional drugs as long as you can and still function at a level that, you know, allows you to be happy with life. In hindsight, I think I wish I had, in the early stages, I wish I had known a little bit more about energy work. Maybe that would have delayed some of the symptoms onsetting. But then again, who knows? I don't know what to say, because, you know, when I talk to people, different people have different reactions to different therapies. Things that work for me, I've noticed other people have tried it have not had as good effect, and vice versa. Things I've tried that I didn't seem to have as great effect from seem to be very beneficial. There seems to be a very, how do I say, individualistic, if that's a word, component to this disease or condition. You have to sort of figure it out. There's no magic formula as far as I can tell. I mean, there's no magic cure. It may take a multiple healing approach. The one thing I should mention, which I do feel strongly about, in terms of trying to heal or recover from this disease, is that I think it really takes an intensity of treatment that our traditional medical system is not set up to handle, certainly not cost-wise. What I recall is a story that Toby Christensen, the drummer, told me. He was trained in Africa by a very powerful shamanic healer in East Africa. And he said, if you had Parkinson's and you live within the tribe that I was trained in, they would work on you every single day until you recovered. And that was part of their society. That's the way that they treat people. And they didn't care what it cost or what the burden was to the tribe, but that's the way they would treat people. We're not set up that way. I mean, you know, the medical system is set up to try to keep you away as much as possible from getting what you need. So I, you know, my feeling is, particularly after the PEP study,
which is the Parkinson's Energy Project, for people who don't know.
Well, it would have been interesting if we could have done the PEP study for a full year instead of meeting every other week or every 3 weeks or so. We could have done this several times a week for a long period of time.
That would have been awesome, wouldn't it?
What the outcome would have been after that. Because in talking to energy healers and people, it's sort of like this disease, this condition needs an intensive frontal attack or treatment mode intervention in order to really reset the body. The body is gotten so conditioned with holding muscles in tension, holding trauma, holding whatever it's holding, and the, you know, organs and tissues are so bound up so tightly that just seeing somebody once every 2 weeks or once, even once a week, I don't think is enough. I don't think it's enough. It's almost like the person has to go into a special treatment center for some extended period of time, but in order to maybe overcome some of the trauma that is associated with Parkinson's.
And to be able to reset that thermostat.
And reset it, right. And yet, I don't know how we can do this. I mean, certainly there's no insurance company that's going to pay for
right.
6 weeks of shamanic drumming.
Or 1 week.
Or 1 week. Or even a few days, you know. So that's what I see as the dilemma and the frustration I have personally about how to treat this condition.
Well, that's all fascinating. Yeah, we've come to the conclusion, too, that continuity makes a huge difference and that the modalities do differ across individuals. So what one individual responds to may very, very well be different than another.
Right.
And so we've just decided the best thing we can do for people is to provide mountains of information about all the alternatives that are out there and then encourage people to make decisions for themselves about what's going to work for them. You're such a model for that, of somebody who's gone out and experimented with many different approaches. Is there anything that you've regretted doing or trying?
You mean in terms of healing modalities?
Healing or anything, medicines, you know, you name it.
No, I can't say that I have any regrets. I mean, disappointments, yes. Things that I was optimistic at the beginning and thought, oh, this is going to be it, and turned out not to be it, or only gave me very temporary or slight relief or no relief, you know. But, you know, it's trial and error. No, I can't really say that I have any regrets. My biggest regret is the way our medical system is set up that tends to favor very conventional approaches. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, the traditional Parkinson's meds don't work. They certainly, for a lot of people, they give them relief from symptoms.
Right, right.
There's a price to be paid with that for most people over time. And it's usually side effects and the wearing off of the effectiveness of those drugs over time.
The advice of your brother's friend who was the neurologist was quite fascinating. He's just encouraging you to try to stay off them as long as possible.
Right. Yeah, and I think more and more neurologists will say the same thing, too. If you can stay off and still have quality of life, stay off them. You can always go on to them if you really feel you need to. And frankly, if I would probably, instead of going on Sinemet, I'd probably, as I've done personally after 5 years, started on taking a more natural form of levodopa.
Right. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to be sure and talk about?
No, I can't. I think I've pretty well covered it all. Just follow your heart. Follow your inner wisdom as to what you need is probably the best advice I can give anybody. Everybody has lots and lots of opinions, but ultimately you got to be the decision maker. And the only other thing is, this is a condition that I think you need to take control of, in the sense of making your own judgments and not being overly swayed by professional advice when intuitively you know it may not be the best thing for you.
You are a very, very wise man. There is such wisdom in everything that you say.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to talk about all of your experiences. And they will be invaluable to so many people to hear all of the experimentations that you've had of doing one, trying one thing, trying another, hearing about what the results have been, and being able to hear that it is possible to feel better.
Well, it is. There's no doubt about it. There are definitely avenues to feel better. I'm hoping that somehow the collective wisdom will lead to an approach or approaches that give people more permanent relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's. And I believe there are. It's just a matter of finding the right combination.
Right. My goal is to see if I can attract more people like you who can tell their stories about what they've done to feel better. And maybe merging all of that together, we'll be able to have some good guidance for people.